Well, today, as we settle back into our seats and enter into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapters 1 and 2, because we will be reading two texts this morning from these two chapters found in Luke. The first text will be Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. The second would be Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. As we continue this Advent season to anticipate, to reflect, to participate in our worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this Sunday of Advent, as it is a season to do just this, a season among many seasons of joyful preparation and anticipation for the coming of Jesus, that we take time every year to remember how this moment in time forever changed the course of time, how Jesus' first advent into the world forever changed the course of history, how he brought us an eternal hope for all that was hopeless, love to all who would be called unlovable, a jumping, jubilant joy that was for good and for all to those stuck in the deepest pits of depression, and peace that surpasses all understanding because of the greatest gift given by him, the promised hope of eternity to come. Knowing, as our theme verse for this year's Advent season proclaims from Galatians 6, 9 through 10, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Today, we continue in our learning about the hope, love, joy, and peace Jesus brings us, that not only is good, but is for good, eternally kept by the Father, and how it is far different than that what the world would claim these wonderful gifts to be and would vainly seek and pursue after in all of the wrong places, especially this particular Sunday where we look at true, jumping, jubilant, everlasting, never fading joy for all people that Jesus gives to us all by and through his first coming, his first advent into this world. Something we desperately need in this time that we find ourselves in, as we discussed these past several weeks, that not only are we in a time, we're all in a time somewhere, but we're in a time between times. The time between his first and his second coming is where we find ourselves. And Advent is a reminder not only that Jesus came, that Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Advent reminds us as his people, as it did then, it does today, as we wait and participate, that he will come again, and how even in this time between times, things will get tough. Things can go wrong. Life's challenges are ever present to us. Death still steals life away from us, and sorrow tries to take the day. But in Jesus, what the psalmist says in the second half of chapter 30, verse 5, is ever true, that weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Understanding we have been given in Christ Jesus a joy that is for good and for all, that surpasses anything the world would ever consider to be joy, which we'll be discussing here in but a moment. But first, I'd like to invite the Thompsons to lead us in a reading of God's Word this morning as we go into our two passages to see this jumping, jubilant joy literally.
Thank you, Pastor. Reading two passages from God's perfect Word. First passage, Luke 1, 39 through 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord."
Our second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you so much for the reading of God's word today. These two historical moments, 9 months apart, 9 months exactly. Because as we will be discussing here, as we look at our first moment, that not much time passes before Mary leaves to go to see her relative Elizabeth, who is in the sixth month of her pregnancy. And what we read in Luke is she stays with Elizabeth for 3 months and then goes back to Nazareth. And then there we see later them in Bethlehem, 6 more months later. 9 months between two important historical moments, two readings leading us today to three critical questions regarding the joy Jesus gives to us through his first advent, his first coming to us a long time ago in a Bethlehem far, far away. Sorry, I had to plug that in somewhere this Advent season. Three questions critical for us to be able to answer properly, to really understand if we have obtained the joy of Jesus and are sharing the joy of Jesus with others. Because the joy of Jesus is first and foremost unlike any other kind of joy we may say we have or have obtained in this life. It is beyond what the world would consider joy, which is something that we will be discussing as mere happiness. Because the world teaches us to pursue after happiness, to join that rat race known as the American dream and to find your happiness, one more thing, one more dollar, one more achievement. And we have to ask, does it ever really give us lasting joy or just a momentary, just high? Happiness is fleeting, here today and gone the next. The joy Jesus brings is lasting, forever, eternal, and it's always there to obtain despite our circumstances and situations, which is our first question is, are you chasing happiness in this world, or have you received the lasting joy of Jesus? How do you know? How do you know the answer to this question? Well, the second question actually helps us see this, because the joy Jesus brings is contagious. It spreads. It spreads so rapidly and fast. And we have to ask, is our presence a presence of joy to others? Because when we have the joy of Jesus in us, it naturally exudes forth from us onto others around us. Because the joy Jesus gives swells up in us and bursts forth beyond us to others around us, as we see in both of our passages happening. Just a sequence of people catching and being infected by the joy of Jesus in the best of ways. And if that is not the case, we have to ask, have you grasped for and received the joy of Christ? And if so, are you sharing it? Three questions these two historical texts provide us about the coming of Jesus. We're going to turn to the first of these two texts here to begin seeing this literal, joyful, good joy in the encounter between Mary and her relative Elizabeth and her baby John, who is still in the womb. Joy that is just birthed forth in them all at the mere presence of Jesus, and a prophetic leap of John in the womb, and a joy that brings a literal jumping good joy. However, showing us something more important than that, and that is the joy Jesus brings is not the same thing the world would call joy, which we've already discussed as fleeting happiness, where we'll be happy in a moment but sad in the next. I confess to you now, I don't feel very happy right now, but I still have the joy of the Lord. You know, I was talking to George about this, our faithful bartender at the coffee bar. And he's like, you know, when it's so gloomy outside for so many days and you don't see the sun, it's easy to be sad. And boy, it is. It's easy to be sad. But you know what? I still got my joy. I still have my Jesus. Before digging into our text again today from Luke about the coming of Jesus, let's take our time to put ourselves in their shoes, though. Let's take time to really put ourselves where Mary and Elizabeth are at. They are facing major life changes and seriously unconventional pregnancies, which will lead to serious uncertain outcomes. Put yourself in Elizabeth's shoes for a moment, who never had an angelic messenger come to her and explain why she, well past the years of childbearing, would conceive and have a son named John. Now, you could say, well, Zechariah was warned by an angel, but because of Zechariah's doubt and disbelief in the angelic messenger's word, it said that he's made mute. And of course, he could write things, but this was an oral society. It would not have been a way of communicating effectively. I'm sure there were gaps in Elizabeth's understanding of what happened to her husband. But boy, I'm sure she was very happy about the fact that her husband couldn't talk anymore. I know my wife would probably be happy about that every once in a while if I would be struck mute by the Lord. Elizabeth knew some things, but didn't know everything. You know what else Elizabeth probably didn't know late in her 50s and 60s? Bearing a child? That Mary was pregnant. In fact, we know that she doesn't know because as Luke shows us in verse 39 and verse 40 of chapter 1, leading into the encounter with Elizabeth, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country. What just took place in Mary's life? What just happened? Huh? The angel appeared to her. Verse 38, the angel appeared for her. In those days Mary arose. So as soon as she got this word, as soon as she said yes to this word that God gave her, Mary doesn't hesitate. She arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Mary arose and went with haste. She went straight there. I don't even think she probably told Joseph yet. It doesn't say she told Joseph yet. Joseph's going to find out eventually, obviously, but could you imagine what Mary had been going through in that moment, that journey to this town to see Elizabeth? She hears the news of Elizabeth having a child and being 6 months pregnant, and I mean, I'm sure she's thinking, surely, if there's anyone in the world that's going to understand right now what just happened, it will be my My relative Elizabeth, surely, maybe, just maybe, she would understand. Maybe she could help me make heads or tails of what's going on. And as she greets Elizabeth, not having a clue at all that Mary was even pregnant with the Messiah through the Holy Spirit, even pregnant at all, Mary could have been any pregnant woman. And if she was told that her baby would reveal the Messiah, who would make way for the Lord, John was able to communicate that clearly to her, there would still have been a lot of cloudiness in all of this. And it's here where we see in verse 41, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." How does Elizabeth know any of that? By and through the Holy Spirit. This leads to the most profound moment in this part of the history of Scripture, Mary's response, Mary's song, something the church would historically call the Magnificat, in verses 46 through 55. And it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estates. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.'" All of this taking place at the mere presence of Jesus, revealing to us something very important about the joy that Jesus brings. This jubilant, jumping joy that is good for all, that is for good and the best, isn't based upon our circumstances. It's not based upon a medical diagnosis. It's not based upon our financial situation, other people, or hardships in our life. The joy that's found in Jesus is always present and always kept for us in the person of Jesus. His presence in our life, his promise, is all we need to have joy. Because if we truly have Jesus in a real and tangible way in our lives, what more could we ever need? Having this kind of joy that lasts for good is the reason Paul could write, while in prison, in chains, to the church of Philippi, this in Philippians: "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." The very same letter where he would say the words, "Rejoice again, I say rejoice," which we can do because we have Jesus. We have the good news of great joy. For unto us a child is born, to us a Savior is given, and his government, the governments will be upon his shoulder. His rule and reign will know no end, as the prophets of old would proclaim and declare. Despite our circumstances, despite our situations, despite what he or she said or did, despite the bad news, we can have joy in this life. Understanding something important about the joy that Jesus brings is that it's not no momentary fleeting happiness. Sure, there are many things in this life that can make us happy. I get happy every time I eat a taco. God, I love tacos. It is important to note that there's things that will make us happy in this life. There's also things that will make us sad. But that has no determination upon our joy. Because being joyful doesn't mean you're going to be happy. We all too often in our world, in our culture, that says to do what feels good, to seek comfort above all else, tend to miss the fact that joy is not happiness, nor is happiness joy. Happiness is conditional. It is based upon the here and now. It's based upon our situation. It's based upon our circumstances. The joy that Jesus brings is not, but it's lasting, and it's a gift that we receive and that we can obtain and hold on to even the most difficult of times. Mary and Elizabeth both had very good reasons not to be happy. I mentioned it's believed that Elizabeth was in her 50s or 60s at this point. For those ladies who have gone through that stage of life, could you imagine being pregnant in your 50s and 60s? I'm pretty sure Elizabeth was overflowing with happiness. Probably, we don't know. She was barren, but now she's having a kid, so that's exciting. But this had to be a difficult pregnancy. I mean, even in our day of medical advancements, this is a difficult pregnancy. I mean, she is definitely post-menopause. Things don't work this way. But here it is. Mary, betrothed to a man, not married, having a baby that someone else's. We've talked about Mary's struggle, the cost that Mary faced by saying yes to what the Lord was doing, the challenges. I can just imagine what she's thinking. And then when she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth greets her with this great word of encouragement, not knowing anything before, but being empowered by the Holy Spirit to prophesy into that situation, to speak those words of hope and joy into Mary, that she burst out in song because everything the angel has said, everything was coming about as it was supposed to. And it was affirming to her. Causes her to respond in jubilant praise, because true joy is more than a feeling. It is a spiritual response given by the Holy Spirit in the middle of a spiritual encounter. It is an enduring gift of unaffected and just undefiled jubilance. It is a gift to know that no matter what suffering we face in this life, because we have Jesus, we can face the day. Because the present pains of this world today is going to be but a blink of the eye in the life to come. And as the psalmist says that we read earlier, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Because Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And if we truly believe that, we can have joy. That is a surefire promise with a surefire hope worth investing our lives into, because it is the truth. Yet while we still wait in this time between times, we know in this time between times, it is a blink of the eye and light of the eternity to come. This is why John leaps for joy. Elizabeth bursts shouts of praise, and Mary breaks out in song because the Lord, the Messiah, had come. John's leap was no mere movement in the womb. John's leap was a prophetic proclamation to his mama of the presence of the Messiah. All the uncertainty, all the hardship, everything was starting to make sense. These three individuals were beginning to see what was being done even in the unseen places of their lives. Jesus was with them, and Jesus was coming. And here is the truth. If you have professed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, Jesus is with you, and Jesus is coming as well. And we too can have that kind of lasting joy that is no fleeting emotion. No wonder Mary broke out in song. Imagine what Mary must have thought or felt in this moment. How affirmed of the promised hope that she had inside her was. As here in this moment, the promise meets the presence. It's a beautiful thing when the promise of God meets the presence of God. the promise maker. True joy comes from the ever-present nature of God, even before the miracle is fully visible. Elizabeth declares, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Bringing us back to that first question, these two moments of history cause us to ask, are you chasing happiness in this world, or have you received the lasting joy of Jesus? Have you bought into that lie, the rat race of the pursuit of happiness? Have you been sucked onto the mouse wheel, chasing after one more thing to buy, one more achievement to score, one more buck to earn, one more, realizing that wheel just keeps going all the way around and around and around and around, and it never ends, never fully receiving anything of lasting worth? Sure, that moment of retail therapy seemed very therapeutic at the time, but then the credit card bill came due. Where did all that happiness go from buying all that stuff that's now collecting dust in our garages? That is because it was conditional. It was situational and circumstantial, and conditions have changed. Situations have not remained the same. They never do. And the circumstances of life are far different now than they were then. This is never the case in Jesus. The jumping, jubilant joy first found in John in the womb through an infant leap that is for all and for good had nothing to do with any circumstance or situation but the mere presence that Jesus gives by being present, by being in his presence. Christ is the only one who provides lasting joy that is for good because Jesus is enough to be content in all matters of life and in all situations and circumstances because you, like Paul, have discovered Jesus is with you and Jesus is coming. Yes, of course, there is sorrow here and there. There is grief in this life, but that doesn't mean there is no joy because joy in Christ is not based upon how you are feeling in a moment, but on the assured promise given by him that are yet to come. Therefore, again, we ask, do you find yourself chasing after happiness in this world? Or have you received the lasting joy of Jesus? How do we know? There are many ways to know, but one surefire way is our second question. Understanding that joy is contagious. Joy spreads. That whenever you have the joy of Jesus, that jumping, jubilant, good joy for all that is for good, it spreads. There's no stopping it. It spreads faster than warm butter on fresh toast. It spreads faster than cooties in a third grader classroom packed shoulder to shoulder. There's no stopping the spread that joy brings. Jesus brings. There's no stopping it, as our passage shows us. Our first passage that we've been looking at shows John's prophetic leap for joy, exuding forth to Elizabeth, causing Elizabeth to voice a prophetic voice of joy, which causes Mary to burst out in a very profound song of joyous praise for God. What does our second passage tell us about the contagious nature of joy? With the shepherds, we see the contagious nature of joy there as well. Because upon the angel's announcement, what is it we see them do? The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a gaggle of heavenly hosts, praising God. Sorry about that. A multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." What do they do? And of course, our video really stretched the scripture quite a bit, but I think it really captures just the excitement of it all. It says in verse 15, Luke tells us exactly what they did. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste." They went with haste. They didn't delay. They went. And I love how the video captures, no, we're leaving the sheep. No shepherd's going to leave his sheep out in the field. No, we're going. We're going with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. I love what Luke records for us in this, because he goes on to say, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Understanding, they're not just talking to Mary and Joseph. Yes, they are, but they're also talking to all other people around them that were also probably near the stable that night, because there was no room in the inn. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Because when you come in contact with such jubilant, jumping, good joy, there is only one response but to share in that joy. And they shared in the good news of great joy, real joy, lasting joy, with all they could, especially Mary and Joseph. And what do we see happening as a result of the spreading of great news, good joy, the news of Jesus' coming? We see in verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And we got to be slow. We got to stop for a moment. So often we'll read something like that passage, that Mary's pondering these things in her heart. And it's like, okay, I understand what that means. But do we? Mary is brought to a place of deep, reverent joy. As she treasures all these things in her heart, meaning she's carefully saving these extraordinary words, these messages, and happenings, reflected deeply on their meaning and their confirming of Jesus' divine identity as the promised Messiah. In the original Greek, we get the sense and understanding that this treasuring suggests the preserving of knowledge or memories for future use. Because she was going to need it. She was going to need all those treasures that she was treasuring up, because the road ahead was uncertain. The road ahead would be difficult. They'll be fleeing for their lives in just mere months of the birth of Jesus to Egypt. And she was going to need those treasured memories, those treasured moments to remind herself of the joy, just like we need those treasured memories, these treasured moments in history that we read in the Bible of the good joy, the good news of great joy that is for all people, because he has come for us. He has come for us, and he is coming again for us. He is also with us right now. She would need it just like we need it today. Because circumstances and situations in life change. Jesus and the joy he brings remains the same. How has the joy of Jesus been contagious to people around you? Is your presence a presence of joy with others? When we are in Jesus, there is no other way but to be a presence of joy, because you become a presence of joy because Jesus is with you. And where you go, he is going. It's so important for us to understand our place in all of this and to know whether we've really grabbed hold of the joy of the Lord or if we've kind of left it aside and kept moving on. And that is, we become people of joy. People that bring joy into the darkest of situations. At the side of a deathbed in a hospital room. At the moment where you hear your coworker lost their job and you're comforting them out in the parking lot. The moment where things seem all over and all is lost in the disruption of a critical relationship in your life, where you can provide words of peace and comfort to that friend or that special someone. Because the joy of Jesus remains the same. Is your presence a presence of joy for others? It's impossible to be a disciple of Jesus and not be a bringer of joy, because that's what we become. We become harbingers of everything we've been discussing. We become harbingers of the hope, harbingers of the love, harbingers of the joy that Jesus gives to us, as we are to bring that to the world, because we understand something about what happens here at the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy for you. No, for all people. This joy is for the taking, for everyone. And yes, it's not a means of masking sadness. It's not a means of just saying, well, I can't be sad anymore. Because once again, you can be sad. So don't get me wrong here. But it is a means of understanding that weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. That today is not your story. The circumstances, the situations you face today are not the end of your book. No wonder James, the half-brother of Jesus, would exhort us in his book to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And knowing it's not just for you, but the world around you, because such joy is contagious. If you ever wondered if you're still chasing the happiness of this world or if you've received the lasting joy of Jesus, that's one way of understanding is your presence a presence of joy, the joy of Jesus to others? Do you bring the presence of Jesus to others? Understanding fully the joy he brings is once again for us all, every man, woman, boy, and girl, and all of creation. It was a gift given to us all. The joy Jesus brings is for all, as the second passage shows us through shepherds. The first people to have it revealed to them that the Messiah has come. It wasn't princes or kings in high palaces or prophets or priests in the most holy places, but it was dirty, nasty shepherds in the field. Because that's what they had been known as in this day. They had been known as dirty, nasty shepherds. They were the rough around the neck kind of people that, you know, they were with animals out in the field. They dealt with the excrement. They wouldn't be considered ceremonial clean. They weren't the first people you invited to any sort of fancy occasion. Yet look who it is. It's the first that receives news of the Messiah's coming. Well, not first. Mary and Joseph clearly knew the Messiah was coming. I'm pretty sure they knew. In fact, as the internet meme abundantly makes clear that I show now in just jest, it was a silent night for a reason. Until that little drummer boy came along, because you know every mother who just gives birth wants a drum solo. I really digress, though. The point is, if we understand the joy of Jesus, we understand the joy is for all. We have to ask that third question, have we grasped it and received it? And are we sharing it? Because if we've grasped it, if we've received it, there is only one response, and that is to share it. If you are indeed in Christ Jesus today, how are you going to share the joy only he can give that is jubilant, jumping, good joy for all, lasting, eternal, for good? What would God have you do with the joy you've received from him? How would he have you spread that joy to the world around you? Because if you are in Christ, Jesus is with you. His presence of joy is upon you because Jesus is coming for you. Inside your worship folder and on the usher stand, there's a card to help us begin to do just this. It's called a joy exchange card. It just asks a simple question, what brings you joy? And to write it down. Write down what brings you joy. And I encourage you to take that card and pray over it. Pray, God, this is what brings me joy in Jesus, that lasting joy. How? Who? First, who needs that joy in my life? And how is it that I can use the means that you've given me to receive this joy to share it with them? Pray over it, pray over it, pray over it. But don't just pray over it. When God speaks, do it yet again, just like last week. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.